Сегодня мне выпала привилегия поделиться словом с вами, братья и сестры. И отойдем от нашей книги судей, которую мы всегда разбираем. И сегодня прочитаем первые 5 стихов в книге или из книги послания Галатам. Как вы слышали, наверное, в этой неделе Верховный суд Америки проголосовал и изменил definition, или как это сказать, изменение, как бы, marriage, как вы знаете. Но Библия неизменима, не изменяется, и наш авторитет мы находим в Священном Писании. И то, что Бог сказал и начертал, оно так и остается. И когда мы видим все это вокруг нас, что наш мир, можно сказать так, разваливается и идет вниз и вниз, и даже в этой стране иногда нам печально. Но помните, что апостол Павел тоже жил во времени, когда мир еще был даже, можно сказать, в худшем атмосфере или обстоятельстве, как сейчас. И давайте прочитаем эти стихи, в которых апостол Павел имеет твердость о своем призвании и избрании, и также напоминает нам некоторые вещи о Боге. So with that, I wanted to read the first 5 verses of Galatians. For those of you that were there on Friday a few days ago, we will cover those same 5 verses again, so I'm sorry if this is going to be somewhat of a repeat, but the scripture tells us to remind ourselves of it and of the word of God, so I hope that we will see something in these verses again. So we will read Galatians verses 1 through 5, and as I mentioned in Russian, we all know that there was a Supreme Court decision this week that has redefined marriage, yet the scripture doesn't change and the definition of marriage does not change. So let us read these verses and quickly see what Paul is proclaiming about himself and about God. Let's read Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Я прочитаю по-русски, и потом обратно будем продолжать. Итак, Галатам 1 глава, 1 по 5 стих говорит так. Павел, апостол, избранный не человеками и не через человека, но Иисусом Христом и Богом Отцом, воскрешенным Его из мертвых, и все находящиеся со Мною братьями, церквями галатийским. Благодать вам и мир от Бога Отца и Господа нашего Иисуса Христа, который отдал Себя Самого за грехи наши, чтобы избавить нас от настоящего лукавого века, по воле Бога и Отца нашего. Ему слава во веки веков. Аминь. Мы будем размышлять на это место, где апостол Павел твердо описывает, кто он есть, и говорит нам также о Господе, и, как мы прочитали в 4 стихе, о этом лукавом веке, в котором мы сейчас живем, и этот лукавый век, которого до сих пор мы видим здесь. So I'll switch back to English, and I wanted to highlight a couple of things for us. So first, notice that Paul calls himself an apostle. And notice, first of all, the clarity of a role that he has for himself. So do we have clarity of who we are? Are you an apostle? Are you a Christian? Notice Paul had no flimsiness whatsoever. So first he says, I am an apostle. He has clarity of role. Second, notice here that he says that he is sent from men and not by men, but from God the Father. So he has clarity of the calling. Do you have clarity of your calling? Or do we go and where the wind blows, and are we don't have clarity of the calling? Paul here had clarity that he was an apostle, that he was a man of God, that he had this title from the Lord, which is a specific role, and that he also had clarity of the calling, that it wasn't of his own choosing, but God meant for him to be an apostle. Third, what do we see? We see in this passage a glimpse of God. As we read this passage, we see that in this short 5-verse condensed paragraph, Paul also not only has clarity as to who he is as an individual, he's an apostle, he's called by God, but we also see a lot of theological truths of his understanding of God. And so third, Paul says that he is sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So we see a glimpse of Trinity. The word Trinity was defined by fathers of faith later on, but he's saying that he's sent by Jesus and by God. So we see a glimpse of Trinity of or multiple people or the multiple persons that comprise God himself. Remember in Colossians 2:9, it says that for in him, meaning in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here Paul alludes to that. Fourth, what do we see here? We see the confirmation of the gospel. We see the confirmation of the gospel in this passage. Why? Because Paul says, Christ, actually God, who raised him from the dead. Remember, Paul was living during the time where there were rumors that Jesus' body was stolen. And Paul says, no, here in this one short statement, he confirms that God actually raised Jesus. His body was not stolen. So he confirms the gospel and God's power to raise. Fifth, Paul tells us that God is the source of all good and grace here. Because look in verse 3, he says, it is grace and peace that is given to God. That is given by God. Grace and peace to you from God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the source of all goodness and all graciousness. Remember in 1 Timothy or Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from above. So here Paul reminds us in this short introduction that God is the source of all goodness, even though they're living in that perilous time. Sixth, he confirms that Jesus is God. How many times have we been around people that maybe even come and knock on your door and say, Jesus is not God, but he's the Son of God? Well, here we see in these verses that Paul confirms that Jesus is God and is the source of all goodness. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 3 one more time. It says, grace to you and peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he equates God and the Lord Jesus Christ as being one being. We won't get into the grammar of that, but that's what the word and means. Let's go on. Number 7, he tells us in verse 4 that God and Jesus gave himself for our sins. That it is Jesus gave himself for our sins. So in this point, Paul, in this short introduction, clarifies for us that it is not Jews who killed Jesus. It is not Romans who killed Jesus or anybody else, but it is he himself who gave himself for our sins. So Paul clarifies that for us and makes it very clear. If we read on, we see why he does it. Look at the continuation of verse 4. He says that he gave himself for our sins. Why? So that he actually might deliver us from this present evil age. He died for us so that he might deliver us from this present evil age and save us from sins. What an honor and an amazing gracious act that is to us. He certainly didn't have to do it, but he did it so that he could save us from our sins and from the present evil age. And as we look around, especially at the events that are happening nowadays and that were happening back then 2,000 years ago in the environment that Paul was living in, if you know your history and how Rome was living and how Greece was living, it was the evil age as much as it is the evil age right now. Where various sins that are being celebrated right now and are being exalted right now were being exalted back then as well, if you look at the history. And here Paul reminds us that it is for that very reason that Christ had died so he could save us from our sins and from the evil age in which we live in. But he doesn't stop. Look at verse 4. He says that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So ninth, if you're keeping count, Paul here underscores and highlights the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Paul says that he will be saving us from this present age according to the will of our God and Father. So you might be wondering yourself, well, what is according to the will of the God and Father? What is his will? Is the salvation, your salvation, my salvation from sin and from this present evil age, is that his will? Yes, that is his will. So it is his will to save us. Calvary was his will. It had to happen that way. There was no other way. What else is his will? What else is in his knowledge? Well, the present evil age, I would venture to say, is also in his infinite knowledge, sovereignty, and in his will. Because when you read Revelations, it clearly says that these things must come. Certain things will come. The evil age will come, and the time through which we are living must come and pass and go. And that is not outside of God's will, nor is it outside of his plan. And lastly, he ends the salutation and he ends his greeting by saying, to him or to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To him, to our God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Knowing that we are living in this perilous time, and that Paul was living in that perilous time, as he was writing this letter and as he was writing a salutation to the church of Galatia that was actually entrenched and engulfed in some heretical teachings, and other teachers were coming in and pulling them aside, he was starting this letter by refocusing them on the gospel, by refocusing them on the calling that Jesus had for him and that has for all of us, and by clearly reminding them that this present and evil age is not a coincidence. That this present and evil age is actually something that the scripture talks about, that the scripture has foretold, that the scripture says it must be that we are living in this present and evil age. And yet through all of that, again reminding the church and the Christians that there is hope, that it is God that saves us and will save us and each and every one of you here that will put your trust in him from this age, and for that to him may be glory forever and ever. Amen.